low stagflation. That's what we're looking at right now, a word called stagflation, something we haven't really seen in the US of A since the 1970s. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Trish Regan Show. I am Trish. And looking at the economic data that has been coming in, I'm increasingly concerned. I'm concerned that we're entering a low growth environment coupled with significant, if not mass, if not hyperinflation. Just look at the data. We got out a number yesterday that's pretty important, 6.6% in the producer price index. Now, producer price index, that actually measures producer prices, what they're paying for goods and services. So if you are a company, right, or a small business owner, and you need to buy certain things, you are paying a 6.6% increase in what you're paying. So of course you're going to transfer that onto consumers, which we saw, of course, last month with the 5% growth in consumer prices. So typically you see consumer prices move first, followed by producer prices. The reality is we're all paying more for everything. Okay. That's the bottom line. Now, if we had mass economic growth to keep up with it, if we had incredibly significant wage growth to keep up with it, you'd say, okay, you know, like maybe we can handle it, but we don't. Okay. Take a look at this. Retail sales dropping 1.3%. That was more than expected. And that's significant because what it tells you is that this might be stalling out. Yes, I get that the economy is doing better. I get that it's doing better because like, how couldn't it do better? I mean, it was pretty bad this time last year, right? Like, let's not kid ourselves. Everything was closed. And consequently, what you're seeing is the upturn from that. So of course it's going to look good. In fact, I should point out retail sales were up 28.1% year over year. But if they're slowing and inflation is increasing, then how is this all going to work? I'll tell you how it's going to work. The US dollar increasingly will suffer, which means what we pay for everything is going to become increasingly more expensive. Inflation is very dangerous because it really robs people of their dollars, their hard-earned dollars that they've been saving up, right? I mean, if a cup of coffee at Starbucks costs you $5 today, which scarily enough, it probably does. Maybe that's a latte. Can you imagine a world where it's then $20 or $30 or $35? You understand, right? That as much as you save and as much as you try and get ahead, if inflation is running that high and that hot, which it clearly is given recent indications, then we have a problem. And so I mention this only because, one, I don't think that Biden can continue with his economic policy, which would afford too many handouts to too many people, and too much, frankly, too much stimulus in areas that really aren't governed by pure market economics. Simultaneously, you can have a Federal Reserve, and we're going to find out what the Fed decides to do in terms of its interest rates in the 2 o'clock hour Eastern time. But the reality is the Fed can't ignore, right? They can't ignore the elephant in the room, which right now is inflation. I realize they want to say, oh, you're going to forget about it. Like, well, let's just let this go as long as it can. And hey, you know, I'd like it to go as long as it can too. I just know from previous experience, given my history of reporting on economic bubbles, that it will result in some kind of unintended consequence. It will result in a kind of bubble, already has, right? That at some point gets pricked. And when that happens, the consequences are severe. So my advice to the Federal Reserve would be, don't let it get that far. Actually act when you need to act. They're always a dollar late and a dollar short, a day late and a dollar short, as I've told you multiple times before. I mean, this is motor operandi, right? For the Federal Reserve. They're trying desperately to fix something, but they don't have real-time data. And they don't force themselves to look at what real-time data is. I've been insisting since January, inflation is real. And I've been proven right over and over again. January, February, March, April, May now. Look at those producer prices in May. What it tells you is that inflation very much is here. Inflation very much is real. And if we don't get enough in the way of economic progress. We will be looking at a 1970s stagflation scenario. Jimmy Carter meets Joe Biden all over again. So that's the reality I think that investors need to face. I think nobody really wants to face. And I get it. You know, who doesn't want this party to live another day? I mean, I certainly do too. I love the market going higher. I think it's really important for America. It's important for stockholders. But when you start realizing that meme stocks are dictating the day, what it tells you is we have gotten away from any kind of fundamentals, right? And fundamentals, they kind of matter. Fundamentals will dictate our future. And right now, they don't look good. Right now, we've got 6.6 PPI on the heels of 5% CPI, coupled with, you know, kind of lackluster retail sales, telling you that this economic progress that the Fed hopes is going to keep going is not going to happen. I want to turn to another big story making news, and that's tech stocks. That's the monopoly, shall I say, of some of these big tech companies. When you look at the new FTC head that Biden proposed and was confirmed, Lina Khan, you know, it's a rare moment when I have a lot that I agree with any member of the Biden administration. But I gotta tell you, this woman has been somewhat spot on. And you know what? There's five different proposals right now, five different bills that have been introduced on a bipartisan basis to break up big tech. And it needs to happen. It just needs to happen because, as you've heard me repeatedly chronicle on this program, big tech is not allowing the questions that need to be asked to be asked. And so to me, that is a tremendous disservice to our First Amendment, to our freedom of speech. And we need to be able, as journalists, certainly to ask these questions, as individuals to ask these questions, and Americans deserve answers. Well, Lina Khan, she and I see eye to eye on something, which is that she believes Amazon is very much an antitrust issue, meaning it has gotten too big. It is too powerful. It has too much of a threat on our overall economy and therefore must be broken up. In fact, she wrote her Yale dissertation, or rather her Yale thesis paper in the Yale Law Journal on Amazon's antitrust paradox. And she said, and I quote, that basically current antitrust laws, I'm not quoting actually, current antitrust laws don't deal with the ways that the retail giant has grown and gained so much economic prominence. Those are my words. So basically she's saying, look, these guys are a big deal. And the way antitrust law currently works, they're only concerned if you're a big old monopoly in the old fashioned sense, meaning that you are hurting the consumer because of your monopolistic tendencies. Well, you could actually argue that in some ways, Amazon has actually aided the consumer in terms of giving them lower prices. But have they really? Right? When they've taken over the entire universe and actually penalized their sellers as much as they do. And this is what Lina Khan had talked about in her paper. She basically said that, you know what, the antitrust laws as they exist on the books are not appropriate because the times have changed. And indeed, they have. Times have changed. And we have these big tech companies that used to be the little kids on the block now being the very big, big, big kids on the block. And that needs to be accounted for. We need to basically protect ourselves, our country, and our people from the tyranny of big tech. I encourage you to go to my website, go to trishintel.com. We are devoted to this issue every single day. And you can find real news there, honest news, where we're asking the questions that big tech doesn't want us to ask and may penalize us for asking. But you know me, I have no problem with it. I'll continue asking them because I'm pretty fearless when it comes to that. And you know what? There's some people out there that are fearless as well and that are supporting us in this endeavor. I hope you are one of them. So go to trishintel.com. I will see you there. And of course, I'll see you right back here on the Trish Regan Show tomorrow.